I know a great deal about the horrors the Admiral has visited upon his daughter, how he went to her bedroom late at night, as no father should. But I swore to keep that secret for fee, and who would believe it even if the truth were told? People have a habit of inventing fictions they will believe wholeheartedly in order to ignore the truth they cannot accept. But there is more, Annabel says. Tell, tell! I overheard Mother telling Mrs. Twit that if Miss Worthington does not make her debut, her inheritance is forfeit. Her grandmother's will states most emphatically that she must make her debut as a lady in fine moral standing, else the money shall go to the Foundling Hospital, and Felicity will be at the mercy of the Admiral to chart her course. Felicity wants nothing more than to have her freedom, but now she's in danger of losing that dream. I cannot keep the blood from rising in me. My cheeks must be crimson for all to see. If I could, I would box Annabel's lovely ears. My corset's too tight, for I can scarcely breathe. My skin tingles, my head is light, and for a moment it is as if I leave my body. Ow! Annabel cries, turning to the girl beside her. Constance Lloyd! How dare you pinch me! Constance's mouth opens in a surprised O. I didn't! You most certainly did! I can feel the bruise rising on my arm! The other girls try to contain their glee as Constance and Annabel engage in a war of martyrdom. The light-headedness I felt a moment earlier has vanished, and I feel strangely fine, better than I have in ages.
When I mentioned we might host an English garden party, Mrs. Sheridan gave me the queerest look. Do you suppose she thought it too ordinary? I felt it would make quite a nice party, don't you?
Grandmama has pestered me for the entire carriage ride home with such natter. She frets constantly over every possible slight or imagined judgment. Just once I wish she would live her life and not care so much about what others think. Of course, I've my own fretting. How can I tell Felicity what I've heard without upsetting her? How does anyone talk sense to Felicity? It is like trying to tame a force of nature.
I think an English garden party is quite lovely and appropriate. It isn't a Turkish ball, granted, but even Her Majesty finds such displays unseemly. Was it discussed among the young ladies? Did they find fault with it?
No, it was not discussed, I sigh, leaning my head against the side of the carriage. The London gas fog is settling in. The streets are murky, the people appearing like phantoms. I spy a young man with dark curls and a newsboy cap, and my heart leaps. I half lean out the window.
"Pardon me? You there, sir?"
I call.
"Gemma Doyle!"
my grandmother gasps. The young man turns. It's not Kartik. He offers the day's news.
"Paper, miss?"
"No," I say, swallowing hard. "No, thank you." I settle back against the seat, determined not to look again and raise my hopes unnecessarily. "Where are you, Kartik?"
"That was most impolite," my grandmother tuts,
her eyes narrow with a new thought.
"Did they find something wanting in you, Gemma, at the party? You didn't speak too freely or behave strangely."
I grew claws and bayed at the moon. I confessed that I eat the hearts of small children. I told them I like the French. Why is the fault always mine?
"We spoke of Mrs. Sheridan's flowers," I say evenly.
"Well, nothing wrong in that," my grandmother says, reassuring herself. "No, nothing at all.